This episode of Something Like Sunday School is brought to you by Exodus Financial Consulting. If you want to get your pockets right, get your accounts in order, whether that be personal or business, you know you want to leave an inheritance for your children's children, right? This is the company that you need to get with. Their mission is to assist you in escaping financial bondage by helping you discover and establish financial goals and providing education on budgeting, savings, investments, and credit restoration. You need it. You do. Throughout the process, you will be given a personal financial coach and an accountability partner. Listen, the process is going to be intense, and you'll definitely spend a lot of time outside of your comfort zone. But in return, you'll enjoy a financially stress-free life. So much so that you'll be able to give into others, and you can pass this knowledge on to create generational wealth. Don't forget to get to ExodusFinancialConsulting.com, headed up by the CEO, Jermaine Chastain. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite podcast, Something Like Sunday School. I am Purpose Williams, and I am so glad that you came back with us on tonight or in the morning, depending on what time you're listening. Hopefully, you got your Bibles ready, you got your notebooks ready, your notepads, whether you're doing it electronically, whatever you're doing. I'm glad to have you, and that we are going to go ahead and get ready to get back into God's Own Heart, Lady in the Water, Part 2. When we last left off, the prophet Nathan had come to David and opened his eyes about the thing that he had really done. And he came to him with the prophecy of the sword never leaving the house of David. After he does that, David repents. He goes to God directly and he repents about the thing that he's done. And remember also, when we left off, Bathsheba was pregnant with David's child. After this, after he got the prophecy from Nathan, the child is born, and sadly, the child is sick and dies. So David and Bathsheba right away experience tragedy. Man, let's see. What do you think the prophecy of the sword never leaving David's house means? You think it's a physical sword? Is there going to be a heavy weight on his legacy? Let's read. We're going to find out. Let's go to 2 Samuel, guys. The 13th chapter tonight again. We're going to do, or in the morning, we're going to do a bit of a reading once again. But we need to fully understand what's going on. Let's get started. Are you guys ready? If you want me to wait, say hold on. If you don't, say let's go. I heard let's go. So let's go. Let's go, guys. 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And it says, "And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her." Now, let's go back. Let's understand the dynamics of these people. Let's understand the relationship, the kindred of these people. We have Absalom, the son of David, the fair sister, the daughter of David, and we have Amnon, the son of David, who loves the fair sister. Now, that is so particularly pointed out to us. What kind of love is this? What kind of love does Amnon have towards the fair sister? Let's read and let's see. "And Amnon was vexed that he fell sick for his sister, whose name is Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." He's vexed. He loves this girl so much so that he's sick about it. And he understands that what he wants to do, he shouldn't do. Man, sounds like a double-edged sword to me. Let's keep reading, guys. Let's see what happens. "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother." So we understand that these two are cousins, but it goes further to say that they are friends. Let's see about the character of Jonadab. "And Jonadab was a very subtle man." And subtle in this context, I mean, he was a very clever guy. and clever being the negative connotation of that word. So if we have two peas in a pod here, he says they were friends. Let's see if their characters match. So, and it says, we're on verse 4. And he said unto him, this is Jonadab talking to Amnon, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Look at the distance that he creates to between them. He doesn't even call the girl his sister. He said his brother's sister. My goodness. Jesus of Nazareth. Let's keep going. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. What? If we don't know anything about David and his people, they're going to make up some crazy stuff. He tells him to lay down and make himself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister, Tamar, come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. He wants to pretend to be sick, and so sick that it gets the attention of his dad, and he wants to specifically require help from his sister. He wants the sister to be the one to take care of him. Whew. Let's see what happens, guys. And Amnon did just that. Amnon lay down, made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, Jesus Christ, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. David doesn't think anything of it. He just thinks that his son is sick and wants to be made well and nurtured by his sister. Maybe she has the gift of reviving people, of helping them, you know, when they're sick, of nurturing them back to him. So David doesn't think anything of it. So let's see if Tamar goes. So Tamar went. She went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat it. And Amnon said, have at all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. So he sends everybody out. Look at the setup, guys. He sends everybody out. Now it's just going to be he and Tamar alone. Let's see. Let's see what's going to happen. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. Look how it reiterates the relationship that they are brother and sister. And let's see what happens. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her. And he said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Come lie with me, my sister. Now, what kind of invitation is this? I've lain in the bed with my brother. I've lain in the bed with my sister. But I don't think that this is the type of lying down that he's talking about. Let's see. Let's read, guys. Let's see what happens. Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. So we understand immediately what type of lying this man is talking about. And she is not with it. Again, here is the sword. Here is a part of the sword. This is given David and Bathsheba. Is it reminiscent of David and Bathsheba? Let's see what happens. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. And for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. And do not Do not thou this folly. She's saying, don't do this. Don't do it. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice. Amnon doesn't listen. But being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Listen. It's giving David and it's giving Bathsheba. Here she is, a man of more power than her, who leaves her no choice. This is the sword. This is a part of the sword that does not leave David's house. Look at how the thing is magnified now. David is smeared on his children. Look how it's magnified. Whew. Let's keep reading, guys. Let's keep reading. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Now, this is after he's done what he's done to her. Now, he's the one hating her? Is this real? Why is he hating her? What has she done that he now hates her? She already said, what was she going to do with this shame about it? My Jesus. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. So his hate is greater than the evil thing that he wanted to do towards her. And that's something? Than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. He wants to get rid of it immediately. He's sounding a lot like his daddy. Again, here is the sword. It is a part of the sword. This is that boy's son. This is David's son. Understand? And she said unto him, there is no cause. You did what you already set out to do. There's no cause. This evil is sending me away. It's greater than the other that you just did to me. But he will not hearken unto her again. My goodness. Look at him planning like his daddy. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman. He don't even give her a name. This woman. She's a thing now. Put now this woman out from me. And bolt the door. My goodness. Bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughter. They were virgin's apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. She changed clothes. She's no longer a virgin. Isn't that something? At the hand of her own brother. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, have Amnon thy brother been with thee? He knows right away. This is Absalom, the other brother. He knows. So this thing is not unknown. This desire that Amnon had for his sister was not unknown. But Absalom knows immediately what has happened. Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? What kind of sick question does this even have to be asked? Good God from Zion. But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing, for Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now, is he telling her to hide what has happened between Amnon and her? Let's see. It sounds a lot like it. He's telling her to disregard it, to be at peace, to not worry about it. Let's see what happens. Let's keep reading, guys. We're on verse 21. And when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. He was angry. And Absalom spoke unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. It said he spoke to him neither good nor bad. So he went on like, you know, nothing was wrong. Let's see what happens. And it came to pass after two years has passed, that Absalom had sheep shears in Beelzebub, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. So the king's sons are Absalom's and Amnon's other who? His other brothers. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, now thy servant has sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech you, and his servants go with thy servant." And the king said to Absalom, "Nay, my son, let us not all go, lest we be chargeable unto thee." He says, unless we be a burden, that's going to be too much for you, son. But Absalom pressed him. Howbeit, David still would not go, but he blessed him. We're on verse 26. Then said Absalom, "If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said unto him, "Why should he go with thee?" But Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So he lets Amnon go, and also his other brothers. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." We hear a lot of these words when we saw what David was doing to Uriah. Absalom, come on, David. You smeared all over your children. Look at it. This is the sword. Look at it. Absalom plans to get his brother drunk to smite him. Let's see. Let's see what happens. "Smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you?" So he's throwing his weight around too, like his dad, throwing that power around. "Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him upon his mule and fled. They did just what Absalom told them to do to Amnon. When he was drunk with wine, his heart was merry, they killed him. So when the other brothers saw this, they got on their animals and they ran away. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David. David finds out, saying, "Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there's not one of them left." Now look how the message is blown out of proportion. Is this not the game that we play when we're kids? When somebody starts the message and by the time it gets all the way around, it's totally not what really happened. Lord have mercy. But David got word that all of his sons was killed and that Absalom had did it. Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth. And all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, David's nephew, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men and the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead." So his nephew tells him, which is his friend in the beginning, "The appointment of Absalom have been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar." Now look, Absalom has waited 2 years to set this boy up to kill him for what he had done to his sister. This is why he told his sister, "Hey, don't worry about it. I got this." But look at the patience. Look at the planning. My goodness. "Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept watch lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld. There came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, it is so. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. The sword is not leaving David's house. The actions of David are being repeated by his children. This is wild. What can we learn from this? What can we learn from this as parents, as adults who have influence over children, as people, as families, as generational curses, generational strongholds? This is wild. This is wild. So we see the sword showing up so many times in so many different ways, yet reminiscent of what happened between David and Bathsheba. Man. Woo. We're going to read, guys. We're going to finish reading. Next time, I want you to go back. You know, I want you to read. Check out the details. Take notes. You see what Holy Spirit is telling you about it. So I hope you enjoy, guys. This is a wild ride. David's account, like I said before, is one of the most detailed accounts, even in the lives of his children. This stuff is wild, guys. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you're understanding what's going on with the sword never leaving David's house. We'll come back next time. We're going to keep on going, guys. If you're enjoying, let us know. Also, let us know who you want to read over and discover the account of next. We're so happy to have you. Shout out to you, Ohio. I see you. Shout out to all of you reading, sharing. I hope you're reading, guys. I hope that this is encouraging you to read. I hope that you're coming into understanding. I hope that your questions are being answered. Let us know. We'll see you next time.